Psalm 105 begins like so many others, with a call to worship the Lord. The psalmist declares, "Praise the name of the Lord." He instructs us to sing praises to him. The psalm starts this way. "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always." But what do you do if you don't feel like worshiping the Lord today? What if you just don't have it in your heart to do it? What if you fear that anything that you might say, any of your words that you would say or sing or pray, would honestly just be hollow and empty? I mean, chances are you've been there. I know that I have. And maybe it's because your heart is broken. You're grieving over the loss of a dream or a relationship. You know, it's become clear that things just aren't going to work out like you expected or like you had hoped. Or that person's never going to come back. And so you're finding it hard to feel like you have a reason to worship because your heart is broken. Or maybe it's that you're anxious and worried. You're anxious about the upcoming election. You're worried about the economy. You're nervous about the state of our country or our schools or our institutions. And that anxious and worry that you're feeling is making it hard for you to feel like worshiping the Lord this morning. Maybe it's fear that you're struggling with. Fear of a significant change that's coming in your life. Fear of declining health, fear of significant financial loss. And that fear is great enough that it's robbing you of any sense that you have reason to praise the Lord. Maybe it's discouragement. Discouragement that over things not going the way that you'd hoped that they would. Discouragement over the state of your marriage. Discouragement over the effectiveness of your parenting. Discouragement over the way that things are working out at your place of work. And that discouragement is making it really hard for you to find reason like you have to praise the Lord. Or maybe the challenge for you is just simply distance from God. Not that God is actually distant from you, but he feels distant. You don't sense his presence like you used to in the past. You don't hear his voice nearly as clearly as you have before. And you pray and you cry out to him, but all that you get back is silence. And that distance and that silence is making it really hard for you to want to do what the psalmist tells us to do in the beginning of Psalm 105, and that is to praise the Lord. Because you just don't feel like right now you have much reason to praise the Lord. Well, see, here's the thing. Even if that might be where you are this morning, Psalm 105 actually has the answer that we need to what we can do, what we must do when we don't feel like praising the Lord, or we don't feel like we have reason to praise the Lord today. And so this morning, we are going to see where we can always go to find reason to praise the Lord. We're going to learn how we can help others do the same. And then we're going to consider how this psalm might sound a little bit different if it were written today. So if you've got a Bible with you, I want to invite you to open to Psalm 105. And join us as we work our way through it this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'd encourage you to grab one of those red Bibles in front of you there. And if you're using one of our red Bibles, it's on page 942, Psalm 105. Well, here's the punchline. When it feels like the present isn't giving us much reason to praise the Lord, the best place that we can go, the best place that we can always go to find a reason is the past. And that is because the past is full of examples of God's goodness and faithfulness to his people. Goodness and faithfulness that we have every reason to believe that he will continue to show to his people. And that means that we can always find a reason to praise the Lord. What we might not feel in the present, we can still see with clarity when we look back into the past. And this is, in fact, what the psalmist does here in Psalm 105. He tells his readers, both ancient and modern, us today, to remember what God has done in the past. And so what he's doing here is he is tying together praising God now with remembering what God has done in the past. The psalmist does this in this particular psalm by reminding his readers of examples of God's goodness and faithfulness from the time of Abraham up until the time when Abraham's descendants finally made it to the promised land. Now, when this psalm was written, this psalmist assumed that everybody hearing this psalm, who would hear this psalm or read this psalm, would know already all of this history. He expects that everything that he is saying to his audience is not going to be new to them. What he's doing here is simply reminding them. He's not giving them any new information that they don't already have. And while this may have been true of his original audience, it is not necessarily true of his audience today. And so I'm going to try to fill in some of the background in terms of this story, in terms of these examples, as we go along. And I'm going to break it down into five parts, which conveniently all start with the letter P. Okay? So the first P that we see here that gives us reason to praise God is promise. The psalmist reminds us that God made and kept his promise. Now, the promise that we're talking about here is the one that God made to Abraham, one that he then repeated to Isaac and to Jacob. And the promise was that he would give their descendants, who would be the Jews, the Israelites, the land of Canaan as their future home. Let's look at the psalm, starting in verse 5. Here's what he writes, having called the people to worship. Remember the wonders that he, God, has done, his miracles and the judgment he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And here's the promise in verse 11. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion that you will inherit. And so the psalmist, having called his readers to praise the Lord, having called his readers to worship, he then reminds them, both whether they are ancient or modern, that God made a very important promise to Abraham, a promise that the land of Canaan would become the homeland of the Jews, a promise that God repeated not just to Abraham, but to Abraham's son Isaac and to his son Jacob, a promise that to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion that you will inherit. Now, by the time that this psalm was written, God had fulfilled this promise. The Jews had established themselves in what came to be called the promised land, the land of Israel. And so why do we always have a reason to praise God? Because God made and kept his promise to his people. But we're only getting started. The second P that gives us a reason to praise God is protection. The psalmist reminds us that God protected his people. The psalmist continues his retelling of the history of Israel by describing how God protected Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants and all their families. God protected them when they were few in number and vulnerable to nations and kings who might want to do them harm. Look at verse 12. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He, God, allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. So the psalmist reminds his readers, both ancient and modern, that God protected his people when they were vulnerable and few in number. And so why do we have reason to praise God today? Because God protected his people, these people who are our spiritual ancestors, when they were vulnerable and in need of protection. The third P that gives us reason to praise God is plan. The psalmist reminds us that God had a plan to rescue his people, and he made sure that this plan did not fail. Now, as Jacob grew older and had many children and grandchildren, he and his family faced an existential threat. There was a severe famine in the land where they were living, a famine that persisted for years, and they were all going to starve to death if they did not find a reliable source of food. And so for a time, it seemed as if God's promise of a homeland and God's protection from the other nations would come to nothing because famine was going to claim all of their lives. But God had a plan to rescue them. In fact, one that he had set in motion years before the famine ever began. A plan that involved one of Jacob's sons, Joseph. A son that Jacob had long since given up as dead as they were all going to be if they didn't find a source of food. But the psalmist reminds us that even though they couldn't see it, God had a plan to rescue them. It's described in verse 16. He, meaning God, called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons till what he, God, foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham, which is Egypt. Many of you know the story of Joseph, but if you're not familiar with it, you should be. You need to be. It's found at the end of the story of Genesis. But Joseph was the second youngest son of Jacob. However, out of jealousy and hatred for him, his brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt and then led their father to believe that he'd been killed by a wild animal. But see, God had a plan And God was with Joseph while he was a slave, even while he was in prison on charges for something he didn't commit. God was with Joseph, and God had a plan. And through a miraculous circumstance, God eventually elevates Joseph to a position of great power in Egypt. In fact, even before the famine began, Joseph was given time to amass great storehouses full of grain. Grain that eventually was used then to feed Egypt and the surrounding nations and even his father's family during this famine. See, even when it seemed like everything was lost, God had a rescue plan. So why do we have reason to praise God this morning? Because God had a plan to rescue his people, and there was nothing that could stop that rescue plan. The fourth P that gives us reason to praise God is power. The psalmist reminds us that God's power is great and unmatched. Now, following Joseph's death, the descendants of Jacob continued to live in Egypt. They thrived. They grew in number in the generations that followed. In fact, they grew so numerous that the Egyptians began to fear them. And out of this fear, the Egyptians enslaved them and even tried to restrain their numbers through a policy of infanticide. And so the people cried out to God, and God heard them. He sent them a rescuer named Moses. And God put on a display of power unlike anything Egypt had ever seen before. Through a series of crippling plagues, both Pharaoh and the land of Egypt were ruined by God's power. Verse 24, the Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark, for had they not rebelled against his words? He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees. He scattered the trees of their country, shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in their land, ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel in gold, and from among their tribes, no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left because the dread of Israel had fallen on them. The psalmist reminds his readers, both ancient and modern, how God put his power on display in Egypt. Power that was both great and unmatched. So why do we have reason to praise God today? Because we can remember how God showed his power in the land of Egypt. From this psalm that gives us reason to praise God is provision. The psalmist reminds us that God provided for his people. Between their escape from Egypt and their arrival in the promised land. For years, they wandered the barren wilderness, but God provided for them. He provided a pillar of cloud and fire to guide and protect them. He provided manna and quail for them to eat. He provided them with the water that they needed to drink. Verse 39. He, meaning God, spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. Why do we always have reason to praise God? Because we can remember how God provided for his people when they were in need. Now, in the closing verses of this psalm, the psalmist actually circles back to the promise that started this memory trip through the history of Israel. Verse 42, "For he," meaning God, "remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought his people, he brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen one with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws." Praise the Lord. So what can we do? When we know that we should praise and worship God, but our present circumstances just don't feel like they're giving us any reason to. What we should do then is remember what God has done in the past. Remember how he kept his promise, how he protected his people, how he had a plan to rescue them, how he put his power on display, how he provided all that they needed. See, each and every one of those gives us a reason to praise the Lord and to proclaim his name. Whatever it is that might be making it hard for us to praise God right now, whether it's heartbreak or anxiety or fear or discouragement or even a sense of silence from God, reminding ourselves of what God has done in the past always gives us reason to praise, continue to praise him in the present. Now, maybe you're sitting here listening to this sermon, to this psalm, and you're thinking, well, that's all well and good, but frankly, this isn't what I need right now, because I don't have trouble praising God or finding reason to praise his name. That's just not something that I ever struggle with. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. And you know what? If that's the case, that's great. I mean, I truly wish that we could all be so fortunate. But even if that's you, this psalm is in fact still for you. See, even if this psalm isn't what you need to hear, it is showing you what you need to do for others. You know, one of the reasons that we need each other, one of the reasons that Jesus has put us all together in this new covenant community that's called the church, is so that we can do for each other what this psalmist is intending to do for all of us. And that is to remind each other that we have reason to praise God now because of all of his faithfulness and goodness to us in the past. Now, if we're going to do this, and we should do this, it is something that we do need to make sure that we do with care and sensitivity. But see, when we see someone who's heartbroken or someone who's struggling with anxiety or discouragement or fear, or someone is telling us that God just feels silent and distant from them right now, sometimes the very best thing that we can do after we've taken the time to listen to them carefully and compassionately is help them to remember how God has been so good and so faithful to them and to all of us in the past. Help them to remember how God has kept his promise, how God has protected his people, how God has made a plan to rescue them, how God put his power on display, how he provided for all that they needed. See, instead of just making sure that we remember ourselves about all these things, sometimes our God-intended role to play in a situation is to be the reminder to others of those things, but always with care and sensitivity. But let me also come at this from one other and final angle. Maybe these Old Testament stories don't resonate with you nearly as well as they would have resonated with the psalmist's original audience. Or maybe these are just the stories that you grew up with in Sunday school. And you kind of think of yourself as more of a New Testament guy. Now, the first thing I'd want to tell you is that you need to get to know these Old Testament stories better. Because actually, they're still very much part of the same larger story that each of us are part of today. And these Old Testament stories are still very much still for us today, but I'll set that point aside. Here's what I'd want to tell you. I suspect that if the psalmist were to write this psalm today, that he might not write about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that he might not write about the plagues and about the Exodus. Instead, I think that he might write about a better promise, a bigger plan, a more significant display of power, and a far greater provision. I think he'd write about an even better promise. I think he'd write about the promise that God made about sending Messiah, a great rescuer king who came as Jesus. I think he'd write about how God protected Jesus when he was a child and was vulnerable to the raging of a murderous tyrant. I think he might write about the plan that began all the way back in the beginning, in the garden. The plan that began with the promise to send a snake crusher. I think that he might write about the power that was displayed in Jesus' life. Jesus, who did more and greater miracles than anyone had ever seen before. And I think that he might write about the power that God displayed when he raised Jesus from the dead. I think he might write about the provision that Jesus made for us as his people. Jesus provided us with his perfect life so that we can be made righteous. Jesus, who provided us with his sacrificial death, so that we don't need to die for our sins. I think that this might be how this psalm would get written today. I think that it would be about Jesus. It would be written to remind us that because of Jesus, we always have a reason to praise the Lord. And so when we don't feel like Lord, because nothing is working out, because our life is a mess, because God feels far away, why is it that we should still praise the Lord? We can and we should still praise the Lord because the Father sent his Son and because the Lord became one of us. This is what we need to remember. This is what we always need to remember. This is what we need to remind each other of. This is why we always have reason to praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about myself is that when I don't feel like praising the Lord, I tend to avoid the Psalms. And I avoid them because I know that they're going to call on me to do something that I don't feel like I have the heart to do. I bet some of you can relate to that. But what I hope that I've been able to show you this morning is that instead of letting these circumstances and feelings drive us away from the Psalms, those feelings and circumstances should actually drive us towards the Psalms, towards Psalms like Psalm 105 that remind us of all the good things that God has done in the past, Because sometimes it's by looking into the past that we can be given reasons that we need to praise God now and continue to hold on to our hope for the future. Let me pray. Father, we praise and worship you for your promises, for your protection, for your unstoppable plan, for your power, and for your provision. Thank you for creating us and then setting in motion and sustaining all that's necessary to rescue and to redeem us. Jesus, we pledge our highest love and loyalty to you as the true rescuer king who was promised to us, who provided all that we need in order to be saved, purified, and accepted by God. Thank you for becoming one of us for the sake of teaching us how to live. Thank you for dying in our place so that we can have eternal life both now and in the future. And Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear how we can join in the Father's plan to bring all things to fulfillment. Protect us from all that would diminish our love and loyalty to Jesus, and fill us with your power and presence so that we can live faithfully in our beautiful but broken world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand for the blessing, and then you'll be dismissed. Remember all of God's goodness and faithfulness to you, to us, and may it ever give you reason to praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you go in his peace as you leave here today. Thank you for gathering with us for the sake of praising the Lord together this morning. You are dismissed.